So we've been talking about thresholds, right? Moving from here to there, crossing into one reality, from one reality into another reality. And we've been talking about how that has worked in Joshua's life in the book of Joshua. And we're seeing that this week in Joshua 1, Joshua's grabbed the reins of leadership. And he's gone and he's recognizing that he's going to be the leader for the next generation. And he's about to take them into some of the promises of God and in his leadership. And he's tasked with bringing the second generation of Israelites into the promised land. Remember where we're up to? The Lord also promised this servant Joshua, as he was serving them, that he would be near, ever present, always with him. Remember last week? And that there would be courage given to him when he needs it. Take courage. So last week, take courage, rely on the nearness of God. And today, Joshua 1 verse 9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourselves, for within 3 days you are going to cross the Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess it. The phrase that has stuck with me since reading that chapter is prepare your provisions. And so today we're just going to tackle that little phrase and what that might mean for this group of people and what that might mean for this group of people. Prepare your provisions. So it's really quite confusing to see that the timing of this, he says in 3 days you will move across to the promised land. But the actual way that Joshua is written is it's all about thought, not necessarily about timing. So at this time we have a number of things happening. Joshua has already sent some spies into the land to see what it's like. So they're already over there, and we can read about that. Joshua has already also seen the spies come back. Okay? And then they moved camp, and now they're at the place where the order has been given to all the people now. Prepare your provisions. Here we go. So if you think about a journey, what do you need for provisions? Snacks, right? So first of all, I'm imagining he's saying, prepare your food, okay? This time, this is a people here that have had some miracles happening regarding food, haven't they? What's happened before? How's God provided food for them up until now? Manna burgers, all right. Manna. We're going to call it miraculous manna, right? Because manna was this flake-like thing that was like frost on the ground, and it would just arrive overnight. And that's what they ate in the wilderness. Miraculous manna, miraculous manna. And that supported them in a journey where they were on a pilgrimage. They were moving from one place to another through the wilderness. Would this food supply sustain them in warlike opportunities when they're moving to another place? They're about to move into another reality where they're moving into other land. Food that they needed was more likely going to be like hunting food, right? Or produce of the land. So all of a sudden we're seeing, oh, God's providing differently. They would have difficulty obtaining provision when they're in the wilderness, so God provided manna. What is this? What is this? What is it? Is what his actual name is. And then they're shifting into a new reality now, and so they have to provide food for themselves. Have a look in Joshua 5. Just flick over to that. And let's have a look at the difference between supernatural provision, where it just turns up while you're sleeping. Who would like that? Right? Or actually then something else is happening in Joshua 5. So here we are in Joshua 5, where they're in the land now. This is how the food supply changed. Verse 11. And the day after Passover, on that very day, they ate of the produce of the land, unleavened cakes and parched grain. No burgers mentioned there. In verse 12, and manna ceased the day after they ate the produce of the land. Manna ceased the day after they ate the produce of the land. And there was no longer manna for the people of Israel because they ate of the fruit of the land of Canaan. all that year. Amazing, huh? God sometimes changes the way he provides. And I'm just having a sense that we are about to experience that in a new way. When I moved to Lilydale, coming down here, before there was a church, being part of a call to come and plant a new church as the worship pastor here, there was a whole team of people waiting for us, but there was no existing church. You guys are here now. Yay! But there wasn't when we arrived, right? And so I was having to leave one reality, leave my job, and come down to a new location. It was a threshold moment for me. And interestingly, my provision from God changed in that move. And I needed to have faith that he was actually going to provide for this location as well as he had in the past. And so I was in Bendigo awaiting the move down here, wondering whether there was actually going to be a change for me. And you know how we do this? We ask for confirmation, don't we? Lord, please, could you show me what that's going to look like in terms of provision? Well, in that time that I was praying that, I got a letter in the mail. Yeah, it happens. Not so much now, but in that time it did. And the letter in the mail was a check. And the check came from Muralbark. I was in Bendigo, okay? And the check was for unclaimed money under my name. And it was a check for around about $1,000. And so I'm thinking about moving here, and the very next suburb, a solicitor writes to me and said, "We found some money with your name on it." Do you know what that did to my faith levels? It was like God was saying, "I'm going to provide for you in that location. I can even make up money." Right? That's how it felt. It felt like he just created some money that someone found for me. That was how I began my journey down here of recognizing provision looks different in new seasons. Now, if you ask me, has that happened again? It hasn't, because that was building my faith levels that provision can look different in different seasons. So if we look at the next slide, will it always drop from the sky, God's provision? Who's had that experience at least once when something's dropped either in your account, yeah, or dropped from the sky as it is, or landed as a check in the mail, yeah. We've got lots of testimonies in this room already that he does it that way, and it's awesome when we share those stories because it builds our faith that he's going to provide. But also on the next slide, he can also produce and generate something from our partnership with his promises. And so that's another way that he provides. And for the Israelites, they were moving into that phase where they were about to partner and their food was going to come in a different way. It was no longer going to be in the miraculous manna way. So God's provision for us right now, what's happening now? At Yarra Valley Vineyard, we're recognizing and anticipating, oh my gosh, 2020 is just down the road. Something's happening over that year. We're actually, the way I'm describing it is that it's like a bridging year for us. We are about to bridge into something that's new. And so if you hear me talking about 2020 is a bridging year, it's because we're on our way to something, and some of that's going to be revealed as we partner with him. So God has given us provision that's going to benefit others. That's why we're here in this community. That's why we're a church, to bring blessing to the community. And if we're preparing our provisions, this next slide, you prepare your provisions, your skills and your gifts and your passion and your expertise and your experience and the places where you've experienced healing and received authority because of your healing. That's part of your provision for us. And so just before, when people put their hands up and said, yes, I've had a story about money dropping into my account, we also have a wide provision through you and in you. And it's stored in you, and we're seeing a lot of that stirring. And that's why in this season we're seeing a lot of people wanting to be mobilized and do stuff together. We're seeing a lot of people wanting to receive from each other through our connections. It's such a fun time to be a part of this church. Next slide. God has also given you provision which is going to benefit others. And so today we're just looking at, if we're moving into a new phase during our bridging year of 2020, there's some provision that he's preparing for you. And that was the slide that we saw last week. I don't know if we can flick to that, Brit. No worry if we can't. Where we're saying, you are in preparation to meet an opportunity. And when you meet that opportunity and you've been prepared, you're going to have success. Do you remember that slide last week? So today we're looking at not just personal provision, but also provision for YVV. And I know this is where, for anyone sitting in church, you're getting nervous going, oh my goodness, she's going to talk about money. You know what? I am. And I am because the Lord said that's something that's really measurable for us, that we're actually going to be able to measure from this time in October 2019 to this time next year, 2020, we're going to see some changes in the way He's providing, and it's going to reflect in measurable ways. And you can take that promise for yourself as well as for us as a church, as well as for people that are in your neighbourhood. So, first things first. Whenever we say provision, often you're thinking of money, just like I took you there, right over there. We are going to go there in a moment. But let me first of all say what provision also means. Just the simple definition. Provision is an act of supplying or providing something of use. Provision is also something that is amount supplied or provided. It's often snacks, food, drink. Often we talk about take some provisions on your hike. That's that as well. But providing, it's beforehand. It's no good going on your hike without your provisions. So there is hidden inside this word, prepare your provisions, a lot that we're talking about that's coming. It's something that's arranging in advance. And I feel like it's something that we're foreseeing. It's foresight. It's preparation, but it's also prevention as we prepare our provisions. We're looking ahead and we're asking for supply before we move somewhere. Are you with me? All good? All right. So let's just have a quick look at this beautiful slide. First things first, we have, if you're on the podcast, we have a slide now that shows a graph. And this is really something that we're going to be talking about at Elders tomorrow. And I just wanted to give you guys an insight. It might be hard to read. If you need us to email it, we can. So you'll see, basically, there's a flat bit and then there's a rise. We like rises. Our bank balance has risen slightly in the last month. Now, don't get tricked, because even though we have regular, beautiful givers, we also have bills that come at different times. So, for example, that amount of that rise, that will be paying MEX for our term of renting here tomorrow. All right? So there's a rise right now that our bank balance, we can celebrate, but there's also bills that keep coming. Imagine that, right? So I wanted to let you know that we are in a rise, and we are really, really grateful on behalf of the elders and the staff and everyone that leads here. Thank you for everyone that is investing in the work that's going on here. We are so blessed by your generosity. I just want to say thank you for the way that you express that in a way that keeps us going week by week and actually has become really consistent but not regular, right? So every week, we're never quite sure how much God's going to provide through beautiful givers, but we always know that He'll provide a spike when we need it. So we're hoping that that spike is going to continue in our bridging year. And we've got some strategies that we're putting in place that over the next few weeks, you're going to hear about that. First things first, thank you. You see that big word there? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. If you're visiting, we thank you for being here. Next slide is just a breakdown of three accounts that we have. VVC is Vineyard Valley Care, and we have people that have been putting money into that, and we're about to just suspend that account and move all our giving into that middle one, YVV. And there's a reason for that, because we just need to have one general account right now. We're suspending it for our bridging year, and so if you have been putting money into that for any reason, the Vineyard Valley Care, you'll be getting or have got a letter just to let you know that we're suspending it and putting it all into one big pool called YVV. We're not closing that account, we're just suspending it so that we can keep all our goodies and provisions and storehouse stuff in the one place. Savings, good news, there is savings. And we've also decided that we are going to be putting some of those savings into a short-term account, term deposit, so that that will be also building during our bridging year. We're really super excited that we have the ability to do that because of the generosity of God and people that are giving. So again, everyone say thank you. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we're in that place. And we're really, really anticipating, and we know with all the work that we've been doing behind the scenes, the elders have been super busy beavers, doing lots and lots of work, just making sure that that's all going to happen. And you heard as well, didn't you, Rob Sturdalind is about to retire. He's been in charge, serving us with on staff as a finance admin person. So that has also created some change for us on the internal side of what's it look like for us to prepare our provisions. He'll finish at the end of December. We'll get to celebrate what a great job he's done. So that actually is an expression of tithes, what we did this morning, of giving. And so I've called it first things first because I just wanted you to know, first things first, provision is amazing how God provides for us. And provision is something that we are constantly looking at because we're wanting to see an increase into the kingdom ministry from this church into our local region. So pray with us that we'll see an increase so that we can reach more people. But tithes are actually simply first things first. It's bringing your first offering to God at the start of the week and saying, we're placing you first, Lord, and then we are going to trust you for the rest of the week, month, however you give. So it comes from a principle of firstborn, first fruits, it all belong to the Lord. He's given that to us. And in a sense, the Joshua story, we're going to see more of that as it unfolds, that principle of giving back to the Lord will continue. It continues into the New Testament, and there's a lot of debate about that, about what's the percentage. We're not going to go there today. All we're going to say is I want you to remember first things first. The first fruits of your provision goes back to the Lord. It requires faith to do that. It requires trust. So I want to just debunk the thought that anyone that is giving regularly is just doing it out of automation or doing it out of a pattern. You're doing that because you require faith then to trust God for the rest of your month, right? So I just want to thank you for being faithful and being faith-filled givers. Really amazing. You're saying, God, I'm giving to you first and I trust you to redeem the rest. I trust you to bring the rest. And he does, doesn't he? Every time. I've been tithing and trying to graduate my tithing over times so that I can actually give more because it's more joy to see what happens when the little army of money that we invest in kingdom ministry goes further. And so I just encourage you, keep that conversation going with the Lord about your giving and how you want to do that. Keep it first things first, that it belongs to him. And we are very grateful when it comes through his kingdom ministry at YVV. All right, next slide. We are preparing to meet new possibilities, new opportunities. What's in your hands? So we've got some stories to tell today, and I hope that it's going to just inspire you about some things that are happening that we heard about the men's invitation for camp, and there are a lot of invitations coming to us from the Lord. And when we say yes and we step over that threshold, there's amazing stories that come. I just wanted, before I get some of those stories happening, I just want to tell you that we're a vineyard church, da-da-da-da, and so we are operating out of a kingdom theology. And it's really tricky because, you know, if you went anywhere around the world, like the girls are going to America, they're going to go to some of the vineyard churches, Sienna and Joe. When you go, it'll be interesting to see whether they'll come back and tell us this, because vineyard churches are always on the front lines of ministering to the poor and ministering to the refugees and helping refugees. Doesn't matter what country you're in, that's the place that you will find vineyard churches on the front end. It makes a difference. And there are other places where that's not the flavour that they are actually serving under. So there are other Christians and there are other churches that actually believe a different theology. And so it causes their action and the way that they operate as a church to look different. And so we are living under the gospel of the kingdom, and it's good news to the poor. And we are also living under a theology or a worldview where it's not dispensationalism, which is a big, big, long word, which says that anything that happened to the poor, anything that happened it's going to be in the past, and the world's about to dissolve and be destroyed. And so we don't need to fix anything. We just need to sit in the clouds and wait for that to happen. That's a worldview for some Christians. And so that, can you see how that worldview actually would stop you from going to bring the rule and reign and the generosity of God into your world? Practically, having a worldview like that means that you're just waiting for the world to get wrapped up. Jesus comes back. And you don't need to do anything. There are some of us that might have come of those from those traditions, and you realize now, actually, no, we have been given authority and generous rule and right to reign and help those that need to be finding hope and peace and need the generosity of God to meet them in their homes. So the practical application for the kingdom and the gospel of the kingdom is that we will be the ones that help to put things right in people's lives. That's who we are, right? Have I got a big yes? Yeah. So we're going to just be starting to lean into that a bit more because the Lord's put an invitation before us. In Luke 12, if you want to turn to that, you'll see that we're sent people, Luke 12, verse 31. Jesus is talking here, giving instruction about money. And he says, seek first the kingdom of God above all else, and he will give you everything you need. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers over all the world, but your Father knows exactly what you need. So don't be afraid, little flock, for it gives your Father great happiness to give you the kingdom. He says, sell your possessions, give to those in need, and this will store up treasure for you in heaven. And purses of heaven never get old or develop holes. Your treasure will be safe, and no thief can steal it, and no moth can destroy it. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also. So as I said earlier, we're going to be talking about preparing your provisions, and that also includes your treasure of your heart. And we're going to be looking at that as individuals, and we're about to welcome Diane McRainer up to tell us a little bit of story that's been happening for them. Let's welcome.
Hi, my name's Rick. You know me, but my name's Rick. And a couple of weeks ago, I took my bride and had a couple of nights in Shepherd, and I had a little job to do in Namurka, an hour's work, and I thought I'll go and do that myself. It was just an hour's work. Somebody had decided to grind the noughts and crosses blocks off a playground I'd built up there years ago, and they contacted me. A bit of a conversation went on, and I found myself driving off with Diane to fix up these noughts and crosses blocks on a playground in a lovely Catholic school up there. And we had a couple of lovely nights in Shepparton. So along the way, we get a chance to have a really nice chat. Di's been at Elders. Di's been challenging us of how Christmas giving will look for us this year, how we should engage the community, engage the poor, marginalised, needy battlers is a good Australian word. I'll call them battlers. And so my wife was sharing some of her thoughts with me, saying she's probably not content now just to buy a gift and give it to somebody to give to the poor. And so and comparing that with going to the local supermarket and buying a gift and slipping it under a tree, to be distributed by somebody to somebody, that my language to that was, I don't need an intermediate between me and the poor, or me and anybody, you know. I'm the church. The little bit that I, from my dealings with the battlers, is they want the warmth of my conversation, they want the warmth of my company, they want the positive language, they want to be treated as normal. And so I was agreeing fully with Diane about let's not have an intermediate between us and the battlers. Let's be the first face they see. Let's be the arm of God that does that thing. The little bit of my experience with the poor is and the battlers is, if you're going to deal with those people, you learn to cry because it never quite works out the way you want. They don't quite respond the way you want. And so crying is a big part of that. So it's not that comfortable. You know, I'm a guy. I don't like that thing. but it seems to be part of my life. So God must have heard Diane saying these things because of this.
We did. We had a point where we were going to hand the microphone over and you just saw it. So we had had trouble with our accommodation. It had fallen through. Rick had booked something nice and for some reason they couldn't have us. So we arrived at our motel late. We were so tired we just ate cheese and biscuits and we were getting ready to go to bed and the phone dings and it's a text. And the first thing that Rick reads is this: "I don't normally do this, but I'm desperate. I would love to say to you that Rick and I stood up and said, 'Your servants heareth, O Lord, tell us what you want us to do.' But we both looked at the text and it was from a man who had been coming sporadically to Rick's life group that was known to him. So there was that lovely context. And what had happened, he'd had a really year of battling, changing jobs, ill health in the family, and his rental was up to be inspected, and it had got away. The garden had really got away from him. And so Rick and I looked at the text, and I have to admit to you, we went, oh. We'd waited 2 years to get away. We knew that this would take a lot of organising. And to tell you the truth, Rick has got a great life group, and they're lovely, mature men with mature bodies. And there's bad backs, and not only that, they're also guys who have incredibly busy lives as well. Bless them. And so there was that thing as well. It was really late notice because this was Wednesday night and it was Saturday morning. And so Rick and I, we looked at each other and we thought, oh, it's almost like God's been hearing our conversation. And we said, oh, we just need to sleep on this. And so we're very tired. We went to bed. We woke up the next morning, looked at each other and thought, how could we have missed this? Of course this is God listening to us. Of course this is an opportunity. Of course we're going to do something. So we got dressed, went to Macca's. And the other thing you need to know about my husband, he doesn't believe in group texts. Every time you get a text, it's an individual text. So it took him a long time to send a text out. And he just said, I'm just going to send it out to the guys. I know they're busy. I know this is late notice. I know that there's bad backs. Even if it's just me, and we've got a guy who helps in the garden, even if it's just me and Jeff go to this guy, at least we're responding. We're first responders. And so we send the text out. And the first few are, I'm so sorry I'm away. I'm so sorry I've got something on. And when Rick's going, oh, that's okay. Maybe our son Caleb will come along. And then suddenly the texts start coming in. Yes, I'll be there. What time? And the reason I'm telling this is because I can skite about these guys. They brought just what they had. They brought their resources, what they had, whether it was a tool, whether there was their expertise. It was just their willingness. And it was such a blessing. And it was such a blessing to this guy. He wrote to Rick. He was so blown away that he did this beautiful little speech to the guys. And I'm sure they won't forget that. A beautiful little speech to them, and also texted Rick and said, this was more. You don't realise what you've done for me. This is more than just coming and helping me. And the wonderful thing about this is, blessed, what I saw the slide, blessed to be a blessing. You bless this family, this beautiful family that are doing it tough. So that beautiful husband and wife and these two gorgeous little kids. You blessed the guys, I'm sure, felt blessed because they blessed me because this was my church responding. So I felt really blessed. It blessed me to see my son just dive in and say, yeah, even though he's incredibly busy. And it really was just, it was almost a foretaste. It was almost God saying, you want to do this? This is what it's going to look like. It's going to pop up when you least expect it. Keep your eyes open. Or as Alana Stern-Lynn says, don't miss your cue. We say that at my life group all the time. Don't miss your cue because these opportunities come. And I'm so grateful to God because it really is testimony to him that he just, even though our first response isn't, you know, yes, God, I'm coming, he hangs in with us and he impresses us on us again and he shares the blessing with us. And so, yeah, it's like that. I love that Shakespeare quote. Not that I go around quoting Shakespeare, but it's, you know, the quality of mercy is not strained. It blesses him who gives and him who receives. And so this is fun stuff. And And so for Rick and I, we're thinking, who can we bless this Christmas? Who can we have context with? You know, so where our eyes are open and we're saying, God, you know, we've even got some ideas. God's been dropping ideas on us. And it really is, you talk about provision. It was just, you know, that there was a group of guys at this church who were able and available, and they just brought themselves and what they had, and something really fabulous happened. Yeah. Thanks, Doug.
Oh, sorry. I would be remiss to not mention there is some people in here who I adore who choose to personally deal with the poor to no advantage of themselves every day. And so I would be remiss not, I won't mention names, but they know who they are and we mostly know who they are. We would like to see this happen on a corporate level, on this level of the whole group, and as much as there's some wonderful champions here doing amazing things, we would just like to see this happen on this level of just us. So, thank you. We're really happy for this to be small. You explain how we ended up. Okay. You explain how you.
Oh, okay. Well, the history of our gift giving, is that what you were talking about? Yep, cool. We're on the same page. We're still doing gift giving this year. And that happened from about, I think we've been doing it 17, 18, 19 years. What happened at YVV, we had this little meal for the community called Terry's Tucker. And we were dealing with families that were needy and doing it rough, but they weren't all. It wasn't as if they all had nowhere to live and no money. It was just often it could be loneliness. It could be just needing a hot meal because they weren't cooking or anything. And so they were coming on a Wednesday night. And around Christmas time, we thought, you know what? We want to bless these guys. So we started collecting, as a church, presents for the kids in these families. And then Anglicare heard about it and said, look, we have the gift-giving tree at Target. We've got foster families we need to give presents to. We've got clients we need to give presents to. Can we give you all our presents? And you've got the space, you've got the volunteers, and you've got the heart. Would you take it over? So we took it over. But we also took it over because we were doing a Christmas dinner. So those families came. They sat down, had a cup of coffee. We said, hey, we've got this Terry's Tucker thing. We've got this Christmas dinner you're very welcome to come to. We've got resources. We've got Jeff Marsh was our compassion pastor at the time. If you need someone to talk to, if there's addictions, if you need food, we've got a food bank, all these things. So the gift giving was part of a bigger thing. And the context was that we had continual contact with those families. And we did see a lot of church growth at that period of time too.
Our thoughts were, as we were driving back home, that this could start very small this year and look to grow into the future. And just for some unknown reason, we seem to agree upon, if we could come up with five battling families that we could engage this before this Christmas, that it's not, the Christian world seems to be rightly moving away from charity, because the problem with charity is it points out that I have things and you don't have things, and I'm the person who has things and I share to give a little bit to you. Charity is sort of slipping away, talking to some other people who move in these circles. Generosity, like love will last forever, charity is moving away because it's accentuated that people are poor. And the people who are battling just want to be seen as normal. And so if we could engage with people and get a bit of a transaction going, we will deal with you, but you need to talk to us. We will send people around to talk to you and say, what does Christmas look like in this for you this year? How can we assist you? So there's a bit of a transaction. It's not just us giving and them receiving. There's a transaction going. They have to talk to us. They have to, you know, accept us. And with that, we assist them, each individually, of what they want for Christmas this year, what they need. And for the thought, five people came into mind. And I reckon if you went through this group of people, we would know five people who are battling who need assistance this year. It might seem little, but it's about what it grows into next year and the year after and the year after. So thank you, Di.
Awesome. Wow. ideas people. God's giving us ideas. And these guys cooperated with an idea. They wrestled through it. They brought a team to it. And so part of what these guys are throwing out as a God thought is that we have a family or household that grabs our attention because Jesus is actually leading that. And then we grab a team, like we saw on the screen there, a team around that are going to be bringing hope and love and light for the best Christmas ever. So along with these stirrings going on, there's also been stirrings going on with some other elders who, of course, you guys have all been bringing ideas, but we're in an elders meeting. So an idea that came up through DK Lock was an idea about a gift festival. And so she just had this big idea with lots of detail. And it was like just a picture of this festival that would be very easy to have. Unfortunately, we realized we weren't quite ready for that yet. But I grabbed her God thought and just want to tell you that where coming soon is a festival of gifts, a festival of giving. So that not only will we have one stream that we've been used to of giving Christmas gifts, we are going to be adding and expanding opportunity as Jesus leads us into that. So choose something of, oh, we're up to that one. Okay, festival of giving, announcement done. Good, thank you. So you see the first one there, adopt a family, adopt a household. Pay attention, and if you've got Jesus leading you towards a need, see a need and meet it and grab a team. The second one, Christmas community gifts, we are continuing with that, and we are really grateful that many of the people from YVV that are even in this room right now will become a consistent part of that team for those that are serving and giving community gifts. It also means not only do we have a team serving in the week of December 15 to 19, we also will be able to bring our gifts like normal. So you still have that option, and we still encourage you to encourage your neighbours as well to be part of Festival of Giving and bring their gifts, drop it off at the office, and we'll make space for that as well on a Sunday after church to do that if you need that time. So December the 12th, we'll have all of those gifts at the office ready to feed the poor with the food that we're going to be giving, bags of non-perishables or with gifts. Third thing is you might find Jesus giving you some cues that you can follow to find some people that are in need. Often needs are going to be hidden, but Jesus knows where they are and he will start speaking to you about that. So during the Festival of Giving, it will be from November to December, and we're just giving you the hint. You can talk about it at table talk, you can make plans, but there's also a second part of preparing our provisions for 2020. On the next slide, there's something in you that you can also bring. So it doesn't have to be just about things that we're doing as teams. It could be that God gives you an idea that you are the best fudge maker in the world and you want to actually take orders for that this Christmas because people love your fudge so much, and then you bring that offering back to the church. That might be something that you will enjoy doing together. What do you do well? Can you do something that you can offer and multiply that to bring benefit to those in the community? Not the church, we're talking about beyond the church, so that we're starting to cue in into the needs of our community, okay? So I'm not saying make fudge for me. I'm saying make fudge and take orders for people that you know love it out there that might need some good Christmas gifts. So that's one thing you could do. Make something. Do it. Another thing you could do is get others involved in collecting Christmas gifts for our Christmas gifts stream that's happening already that we've been doing for 17 years with a number of different churches. Invite others. Tell them you're a part of a festival of giving. Let's make this something that people are seeing beyond themselves as part of the Festival of Giving. And the third one there is, this was something that came to me of seeing my bike in my garage and going, I've got something I can sell. And then I will bring that from storage, take it out of storage, sell it, and bring that back as my first fruits. And then we begin to prepare our provisions for 2020, and that line continues to go up so we can serve others. We have a lot of ideas, as I'm sure you do, that Jesus is giving us. And so we're just laying out this opportunity to be a part of the Festival of Giving at YVV, November to December. We know a generous Father, so we're just expecting that we are able to, with our belief that we're supposed to be blessing others and be a blessing to them. We can care for the poor and love them and give to them. And we can find those that are in need in our community. And we can prepare our provisions for 2020 so that we can see an expanding ministry of Jesus into our community. Yeah. So how do you do that? Start now. Start talking about it. Start thinking about it. Start praying about it. Be prayerful and be watchful. Look for your cues. And then do it. Just do it. See what happens. Be on an adventure. Be experimental with it, but also just be loving as your core value. If you're loving, something's going to pop in people as they receive and they'll be celebrating Jesus. I put the celebrate Jesus there as our last stop because on December 22nd, I think that's the date. Yes, that's our last Sunday, 2019. We're going to have a massive celebration of Jesus here at 10 a.m. And you can invite people to that. We're going to have kids stuff happening. We're going to have this place decorated up to the hoot. And so it's going to be a great way to finish our festival of giving. So just to finish, as you've been so kind sitting this long, choose something of value. Is it in storage in you or is it in storage in your home? Bring it to be a part of your offering, your first fruit offering. And this will only work if you believe in the worldview that we're trusting Jesus and his kingdom coming. If you have a problem with that worldview, that we're actually here to change things for people, you're going to struggle to get a part of this giving because you want to keep. You'll think there'll be scarcity and you can't give. So if that's a wrestle in you of going, I don't have enough to share, we want to pray for you. We want to bless you in this process and this adventure that we're in. And you are going to find that the kingdom of Jesus is going to spill out of you in similar ways that we heard from Rick and Di, but also in magnificently different ways because you're different to them. Aren't you glad of that? We are so grateful for that story. Thank you. Now, Britt, I'm going to just ask you to just show the screen of the video because we've run out of time, but I want to give a bit of a taster. What else has happened is that there's a church, a Vineyard church in Brisbane, that have us on their heart. And I'm just going to show you the video that they sent this week because even though we've run out of time, I want you just to be aware that there's story happening of people that are in interstate thinking of this church. They did not know we're about to enter into a festival of giving. But they have a story that started a year ago for them, and now they're inviting us into a similar thing to do with generosity. They didn't know this was about to happen. And so these guys, this is Dan, Dan Wakes on the left, and Marg is waving because that's their son-in-law, beautiful Dan Wakes. So there's a connection there as well. And in the middle, we have Jonathan and his wife Helen Gold, who are also the pastors up there. So these are three pastors who have a story to tell, and they've invited us into that part of the story. Do you want to see it now? It's 7 minutes long. Thumbs up. All right. Okay. If you need to go, now's a good time before the popcorn comes out. Okay. I won't be offended if you need to go, but let's see if we can turn that up, Dawn.
Stan and Jonathan and Helen from Vineyard Brisbane West. We've put a little video together at Di's request. We just want to share with you what's been happening with us recently for our church. And it really starts with a $50 note.
Tell us.
Yeah, we had
what happened that Sunday.
Yeah, we had our Queensland State Conference, the first one up last year in the tour that Paddy did, and he came and shared with us at Brisbane West on the Sunday following the conference, which was really awesome. And when Paddy came, he felt, you remember he'd been teaching in the conference about mustard seeds. He'd been teaching us to look at what God is doing and then encouraging us to go and partner with it and see the kingdom break out. And so when he came to us on that Sunday, he demonstrated that using a $50 note. Jonathan, do you want to tell him what happened?
Yeah. So he felt that that there was somebody in our community with a need, and he'd been given this $50. I think he said it was, to buy something for the kids, but he just felt, no, I'm to give it away. So he just wanted to sow that into somebody, but he introduced it to us as an opportunity to see the kingdom break out. And so he asked if somebody had a need, and that week one of the people in our church had just lost their job, and so was really at a low point. And so he said, well, I'd like to give you this, but then I'd like to invite others on board to also partner with what God is doing. Because when you partner with what God is doing, there's a blessing in that. There's a multiplication that happens. And so I think pretty much everybody, every family in our church came and gave to the person. She was just overwhelmed, incredibly blessed to receive such a gift. But it was a wonderful thing to do in and of itself. But what Putty was doing was sowing in this principle of seeing an opportunity in the kingdom in God, and then inviting others into that. So that began the journey.
But what Putty didn't know was that we were actually in a season at Bris West of, I don't know how to put it, but what we were expecting to come in during that month hadn't come in, and we were wondering how we were going to get by that month of that season of September in the conferences. But after this took place, and we'd share some more stories of what happened after that, but was it the following month? Exactly the following month, wasn't it?
Yes, so the month that Putty was here, when he said, does anybody have a financial need, I almost stood up on behalf of the church and said, well, actually, this month our offering is down to about 60% of what it usually is. And it's pretty consistent because most people give regular gifts these days. But what happened in Putty doing this and giving us a word, telling us that you know, God was going to see financial breakthrough come for us, the very next month we saw three times our average offering. A bit of a kind of full circle thing this year with the National Conference in Sydney is that Dan was due to speak and do one of the TED Talks, and I think just at the lunchtime beforehand I just had a sense that God was saying, you need to give Dan some money. And I just went to take $150 out of my wallet. I don't often have cash in my wallet, but we bought it strangely to do something with. And the Lord said, I want you to give $250. So I just took the $250 and I put it in Dan's pocket. And I said, mate, this could be for you. You can spend it, but just listen to what God wants you to do and do with it as he asks.
Yeah, so we prayed over it. And I did the talk and forgotten all about it. And then in the Q&A section, as I looked down, I realized that the money was still in my pocket. And it was at that stage, I was speaking about thresholds, and God had stirred in me to basically ask, you know, who's having some financial stuff now that's really got them oppressed. Two people came out. And what we were able to do was, because we'd prayed over the money first, was to be able to bless them to receive the money. What we didn't realize later was Putty had come up to us and said, hey, I'd completely forgotten about what had happened with you guys at Brisbane West. But it was 12 months ago, almost to the week, that he'd stood in our space and activated something that God wanted to do amongst us. And he said that, you know, the memory had come back to him around doing that amongst us. And he was just completely chuffed to see that it had become a part of the DNA, a part of who we are. And it's really just about sowing seeds, being generous with the things we have. And so as a result, we're able to bless these guys. We're really looking forward to hearing their story and what God's wanting to do with them through their journey. And it all started with a $50 note.
Yeah, and you felt, I think it was the next day, to also sow $50 into YVV and Die in particular. And the next thing I know is that you turn up with a $50 saying, can we pray over this? I feel it's a seed and investment in YVV. And as we're praying, we prayed a few things, but I don't know if you've ever noticed on a $50 note, there's a church building on it. And this guy, I think his name is David Unipon. He was, I think, the first Aboriginal minister to this particular community. And my attention was drawn to just the church building. And I just felt that somehow this investment had an aspect around building the church for you guys. So again, you know, when you start out with your mustard seed, something small and seemingly insignificant, in God, he can take that and multiply it and bring about the fruitfulness that he wants to see. So we bless you guys with that.
Yeah.
God is on the move. How interesting, isn't it, that they chose to bless. I have a $50 note that's in my wallet, and I'll be queuing into your queues and into our queues about what God's doing about that. We've got something that is a mustard seed happening here. So the way we're going to finish is I'm going to get the Rainers, and I see someone else bursting out of their seat, to come and pray over us, and then we are going to finish. That's how we're going to finish today. So thank you again.
I just want to echo that last bit with David Unipon and the church. We have had, remember Rose and Clyde that came over? Rose is David's great-granddaughter. And that church is there, the leaders in that church. And we've had them come here and prophesy and minister to us. So there's a deeper connection, which is beautiful. I just wanted to remind you.
Yeah, amazing. God is doing something wider and bigger than we know. And I wouldn't have known that. Thank you, Dee. And also, they don't know that. That's the first time they've seen that part of the story too, right? So it's all new for all of us. Bit of a surprise package. Shall we stand? Please stand if you can, and we'll just pray a blessing over you. You might want some conversations after this, but as just given the time and the kids waiting for us, we'll just pray a blessing. Thanks.
Oh, God, you're so good. And thank you that you see what we can't see. And, Lord, we don't know how it's going to look. We don't know, but we know that you do. And so we just open our hands to you and say, guide us and help us not to miss the cues. Just bless us with your eyes and your heart into this new season.
Lord, I bless everyone with innovation, imagination and creativity in the investment of their resources, and bless them with creative ways to be generous and new ideas. And I bless them with the eyes to see teams and others of kindred spirit that will join together to activate your kingdom.
So today, Lord, we announce with great confidence that we are your church and we are your handiwork. We are your light to this world. Father, don't let us put our light under a cover. Don't let us not be seen. Father, we want you to be seen, and a lot of that will be through your church. So we just pray at this, as Christmas approaches, this year, Father, that you will let us shine in our community in your name. Amen.
Yeah, we just release stories of kingdom supply over each of you. Those of you that need that, those that want to see more flow of that, I can't wait to hear more stories coming through about what God's going to do. Thank you again, guys. And remember, with that flow chart I showed you, you don't have to do all of them. You just have to go to the things that God's drawing you to. So don't feel like, oh my goodness, the pastor said we have to do six things in the next 2 months. Just go with where the Lord's releasing you. And if you're receiving right now as we pack up, continue to receive, because there's a few people that I can see the Spirit's just moving on. The rest of us, let's be practical. Mary and Martha, here we go again. Thanks for coming, everyone.